from the front lines, from the tailgates, representing KGYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
Little bit of World Series update, Bleed Blue Show, BleedBlueShow.com, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus, and iTunes Podcast Republic, tuning in your Stitcher apps for the podcast, the Forum for the Fans, your Frontlines podcast, the Bleed Blue Show. It has been a long time, ladies and gentlemen, long time since we heard from this guy. The legend himself, the captain, El Capitan, if they would say, with the Yankees, of New York Yankees talk, Kenny D. Dude, it's been a long time. How has everything been, man?
I'm doing good. My basketball season's underway. Hockey's going. I'm in a good place right now.
Oh, my goodness. Man, can we have a little discussion real quick? What's going through the head right now of New York Yankees talk yourself, just on a sports level? It could be just baseball, World Series, basketball, hockey. What's keeping you entertained on a sports level?
Well, the Knicks are the number one thing I like to watch this time of year. They've only played a couple games. They got the third game tomorrow night. So that's getting going. Rangers hockey is always entertaining. They got off to a nice start. I think, they're only 6-3, but they're playing really solid right now. I know they're getting Kreider back. He should be an asset. I've said before, Kreider's my favorite player, so I enjoy watching him play. Our Giants just got off their bye week, so we've getting back between Giants football. Baseball's almost over, though, so that's always a bummer. But all in all, I'm not doing too bad.
Yeah, quick plugs. New York Yankees Talk on Facebook, the fan page, New York Yankees Talk. You catch Kenny D riding all the posts, talking baseball, the world of sports on his page, New York Yankees Talk. If you are a Rangers fan, be in tune this week. We have the post game versus the St. Louis Blues right up your way, Ken. Got the post game versus the Blues on Tuesday. This Tuesday, Ranger Proud and myself and anybody else who wants to join that discussion. Of course, Wednesday, we have the postgame fan forum on the Knickerbocker Avenue fan forum. The Knicks versus the Houston Rockets on Wednesday after that game. So, let me say this real quick, Ken, about the Knicks before we get into some World Series stuff. I thought they played very well versus the Grizzlies on Saturday. I thought they should have blew them out. I thought they left a lot of points on the court on Saturday night. Did you see the game or no?
Yeah, I saw the game. I think the Knicks played well when they got into more of an up-tempo offense. When the Grizzlies started slowing everything down, that's when they were able to crawl back into the game a couple times. Because that's the Grizzlies team. They're a much more physical team. They can get the ball down low into Gasol and score that way. The Knicks aren't designed to win that way. But it all worked out all right. They got the win in the end.
Yeah, we'll look forward to the next game. We got Houston coming up, the Bulls in Chicago on Friday. So we'll have some nice discussions to discuss with them. I'll have my points on the Knickerbocker Avenue fan forum after the post game versus the Rockets. That should be an interesting game. That's an interesting schematic matchup of the Knicks. But World Series baseball, Ken, I found myself, Ken, it really in a good problem on Sunday. When I say good problem, Ken, I mean you look at the NFL red zone is God's gift to man. It was really hard to really get off the NFL football games on Sunday. But let me backtrack it. Let me even backpedal on that, Ken. Just on a personal, I'm just speaking from a fan. That was the first Sunday I was actually home all NFL season watching the NFL. I've either been on the road at a game or something along those lines for the NFL or for the Giants or whatever you want to look at it. Well, I actually got to sit home and watch a game for a change at the house. It felt good. I was going to go back to it. I said NFL red zone. I had the Rangers were playing the Blue, not the Blues. Who did they play last night? The Tampa Bay
Lightning last night.
They played the Lightning. I was watching that.
Blew them out.
But then in the midst of that, you had the World Series Game 5. And the game, you know, Cleveland had the opportunity to close things out at Wrigley. Now, can you give me your thoughts summary-wise first, and then we'll dig deep how you see it right now with the Indians versus the Cubs?
So, coming into the series, I really thought it was going to be it was the Cubs' year. You know, I just thought that if their starting pitching can show up and do what they need to do, that offense is good enough to handle Kluber and Bauer and Tomlin. You know, we know that the Cleveland strength is their pitching, but without Salazar and Carrasco, you know, they're shorthanded. But that hasn't been the case so far. The Cubs have gotten shut out twice by Tomlin and by Kluber. So my guess was wrong, A. But I don't know if it's all the pitching. Maybe just the offense, just the youthful offense, they couldn't handle this kind of pressure. You know, World Series in Chicago is unlike anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we saw Baez, who had a phenomenal postseason at this point, go cold. Addison Russell, who had a strong NLCS, went cold. Rizzo and Bryant, I mean, they showed up last night, but up until that point, they were also kind of they were quiet. So that offense wasn't the normal potent self. And no matter how good that pitching was, you don't score any runs, you're not going to win. I mean, the pitching wasn't bad. I mean, they got a couple of good starts, a good start out of Lester. But it just wasn't going their way. Last night was obviously a must-win elimination game. But I think it did a lot for them momentum-wise, more so than just, you know, keeping them alive. I think they showed that they can actually, you know, score a few runs, get to this Cleveland pitching. And it was lucky they didn't have to see Andrew Miller last night, who has been unbelievable.
Do you think in this series, because now the Cubs are really everything's elimination at this point. But I think it all sets up with Corey Kluber. He is probably going to see him in Game 7, no matter how you look at it, because now you had him in early on the first Game 1 and Game 4, and he's been looking very good, and especially that 6-0 win where Perez hit that bomb home run in that first game. But what are the chances for the Cubs? Obviously, the obvious answer is hitting, but is it in particular which guys have to get going for the Cubs? Is it Rizzo? Is it going to have to be Bryant? Although Bryant had a good game the last
game. Yeah.
But who on the Cubs roster, on the lineup, do you see needs to really add something? You have to see a guy like Jason Hayward who's kind of struggled. You mentioned Javier Baez. Like, what Cub player do you need to see step up for the Cubs to – Let's start with Game 6, not, you know, tie the series at 3.
I mean, I think it's got to be everyone. You know, for them to handle this pitching, after you get past who's going on for the Cleveland? Is it going to be Tomlin in game 6?
Josh Tomlin?
Would it be Josh Tomlin in Game 6?
I think so. He was Game 2, so I can see him in Game 6, correct.
Right, so they throw Tomlin. Even if you knock him out after 5, you got to deal with Brian Shaw. You got to deal with Andrew Miller, and those guys are not going to make it easy for this Cup. So you got to score early and score often. And to do that, everyone's got to hit. It's got to top to bottom. You got to get Baez, Rizzo, Bryant. You got to get Hayward. You got to get some hits. But we'll have Schwarber in the lineup at the DH. He's got to get on base. It's got to be a big team effort for these Cubs to crawl back into this series. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah, because it was only Game 2 that the Chicago Cubs that actually they scored early, they scored often, they jumped out, and they felt more comfortable. But when the Indians have kind of set the pace, got their scoring off, and they were able to get to their bullpen, it seemed like it plays to Cleveland's strength. Because when you have the Like you said, it was game three with Josh Allen. I thought it was game two. It was game
three. Oh, game three?
It was, yeah, you know,
did
when
Bauer
you could go to.
Bauer went game two?
Yeah, Bauer was game two, correct. And then
so, like,
you could
Bauer
go to, like, then you could go to, like, you know, our guy Andrew Miller. Then you could, you know, mix it up with Brian Shaw and then finish it off with a guy like Cody Allen. The Cleveland pitching. Cleveland, to me, has been really a shock in the whole entire playoff scheme. I mean, just the way they ran through the American League, that was kind of shocking. What was your thoughts? We haven't spoke about that. I want to go back to the World Series, but what about Cleveland's path up until this point? Are you shocked that they're doing it to who they're doing it?
I mean, they did it to two of the best offenses in baseball, in Boston and Toronto. I think I have some family up in Boston, big Red Sox fans. Pains me to say that, but they are. And we were talking with my uncle. He was not pleased with the way the Red Sox closed out the year. We know that the Red Sox clinched the playoff berth on that Mark Teixeira walk-off grand slam at Yankee Stadium a couple of days before the season ended. And Red Sox went back into the clubhouse. Champagne was flowing. They celebrated like they had done something good when, in fact, they had lost. And they blew a big ninth-inning lead. Next day, half the guys were too hungover to play. So they basically they threw out, like, you know, all their September call-ups. I think they crawled the rest of the way. They finished, like, 2-7. But the last 10, like, two for the last seven. And they just really weren't ready to play. And it's a shame that that's the way Big Poppy had to go out. But that's what happened there. They weren't ready. And it reminds me a little bit of 2011 when the Yankees clinched in, like, early September. And, you know, they played their Triple-A team the rest of the way. That was the year that the Rays walked up on the Yankees in game 162. It didn't affect us, but it, you know, it knocked the Red Sox out. It had Evan Longoria walk off down the line after having that big lead. And that was similar. And the Yankees got knocked out by Detroit in the first round that year. So the Red Sox weren't ready to play. Toronto, I don't know what happened there. They just got shut down. They couldn't handle that pitching. They looked good against Texas, you know, in the first round, but it was they were overmatched. Kluber, dominant self, Andrew Miller came in and just shut down that Bautista, Encarnacion, and Tula Whitfield. Like, he struck all three of those guys out in, like, game four, which is just crazy because we know how good those guys are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We bring on the great Chris C. Miles in the building. What's up, dude? Talking a little bit of World Series, man. It's been a minute, man. How's everything?
Oh, man, everything's – what's up, Kenny D? Everything's everything. Oh, man. Okay, look. I'm going to get to obvious – gentlemen, I'm going to get to the obvious elephant in the room, man. You guys have to excuse me.
Okay.
I'm outside with all the trick-or-treaters, all the goblins.
Oh, yeah, totally understand.
And all – and all of this stuff out here. Listen, so like last night, just take the last three innings of last night's game. I'm watching Chapman, poised, controlled, looking clean, looking good, you know, and they keep flashing to the Cleveland bullpen, and you see Miller just ready to destroy anyone in his way if he gets in the game. and you just can't help. You can't help but sit there and just bawl your eyes out, which is what I did. Okay.
I think I know
you
why.
You can't help.
Yep. I know why. I get it.
That bothers me, man. That upstirred everything else.
It bothers me too. Kenny,
know?
Do you feel the same way? That's exactly kind of how I'm watching these games too. Chris knows exactly where he's going. I know exactly where he's going with. I see it the same exact way.
That hurt me. Yeah. Steve,
it does.
I'm like,
yeah,
I feel that.
We had it in our possessions.
they were happy to be Yankees.
Exactly.
It's tough. You know, you got to hope those deals pay off. But I tell you, Chapman was phenomenal last night. He set the record for most pitches over 100 miles an hour thrown in a World Series game. He threw 19 pitches 100 miles an hour or faster, which is crazy because he only pitched for like 2 2/3. I think most of his pitches were over 100 miles an hour.
That's ridiculous.
It's tough. I totally understand, dude. I saw it the same exact way. We put it out a tweet on that, as a matter of fact.
I know, but that's some Ivan Drago stuff right there, Steve, Kenny.
Ivan Drago throwing it back. Rocky four.
That's definitely Rocky.
Rocky four.
Yeah, that's definitely Rocky four.
In Russia against the Soviets.
Hello.
And that's the thing, Kenny. Watching these games, I can't help but notice the bullpen, the availability to do what we do, and that we had in our position Miller, and I watching Miller get out of jams too, and only if we were able to put it together. That's probably something I'll dwell on in the offseason when we talk baseball in the offseason, you know, right before spring training or even throughout the winter. But let's talk about what about the performance of Francisco Lindor, man? I thought he's been playing excellent, man. What's your thoughts on guys like him or Santana or Ramirez, that Cleveland Indians lineup? What's your thoughts on their energy?
They've been putting it together. You know, they've been doing what they had to do. It's a young team. They haven't been together for all that long, but they're really getting the job done. It's very impressive. You got to start including Lindor with the other great young infielders, with Altuve and you know, all the great young infielders in the American League.
Can I say just one little thing, fellas, before I get on slot with a bunch of trick-or-treaters again? Let me tell you the second thing that bothers me. Well, this is 1A, actually. And I want you to correct me if I'm a little bit off the history a bit. But let me ask you guys something. Well, first let me start off with a question. Was Terry Francona fired by Theo, what's his name, of the Cubs?
I think Epstein was gone by then.
Epstein.
I think that was Dombrowski.
I think
Dombrowski was in Boston when they fired. They didn't re-sign him. I don't think they fired him. I think his contract was up and they just didn't re-sign him. If I got that right.
Now, I don't normally cheer for anything Boston-wise. It's just a sports thing. But Francona leaving puzzles everybody, you know? And the instant rumors, he's a class act. He's not going to go out there and blast, you know, any kind of brass or upper management or anything like that. And so the speculation immediately began. Why was he let go? The Red Sox didn't have that bad a season. I think it was an 87 winner type of situation.
He was let go after which year? Was he let go after 11 or 12?
I want to say 2011, maybe.
11, they were pretty bad.
It was before 11, because that's when
was it before 11?
That's when they came back and won the World
Series.
They won in 13. In 11, they were really bad. 11, they finished in last.
Was it 11? Okay. All right, but
I can check.
Well, to me, you know, if a guy wins two World Series for you, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, it's like the end of the Joe Torre era, you know. I think it's the same thing as Joe Torre. It was time for him to go. Yeah. Francona's last year was 2011. Boston finished. Well, actually,
yeah, it was 11. Yeah.
So they looked pretty good that year. They missed the playoffs.
Because they came back and won the World Series with the other man.
No, wait. 2011 was the year they collapsed down the stretch. Remember? And that was what I was talking about before. 2011 was the year they collapsed, and
with Evan
Longoria knocked him out in game 162.
That's
that was
right.
The year. So
okay.
That was it. That was why they didn't
okay.
Sign.
Was he fired for that though? Was he fired for that?
I think essentially that was why they didn't take him. They said the team wasn't responding to him anymore.
Okay, because the reason I was asking is I think this would be sweet revenge if you're a Boston Red Sox fan. Sweet revenge if you're a Francona fan, but kind of like, I don't know, a heartbreaker if you're a Boston fan. Because Francona did a lot for that franchise in a quiet way. You know?
Yeah, you won all three of those championships, or two of them. You won two of them.
Yes, he did.
Yes,
he did, and I just had a little bit of a problem with it like that.
He won 0-4-0-7. They left. They let him go.
They might as well have been the first two. They had one before that. since 18, I think it was, or whatever it was. And
can I ask you a question, Chris, after you're done with your point?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Go ahead. Ask me now.
This World Series, Chicago wins game six. Does Cleveland take it out? Who ultimately wins this World Series? And what are your thoughts up until this point with this World Series to play right now?
I love this World Series. It's one of the better ones I've seen in a minute because of the intensity and also the unusual quality of it. I mean, you know, the backstories. I mean, you got, you know, obviously the Cubs story, which the whole nation has jumped on and adhered to. But also, people forget, Cleveland hasn't won in a very long time, man. Since past, a little bit after World War II or something?
1948.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. So you're talking about, Jackie Robinson's second year.
A long time. A very long time.
Yeah. So it's been they have their little bit of history too in the duck bin. Also add to the fact that they've gone 50 years up until June. They went 50 years without any kind of major sports championship. And then they have a chance to do it again. And I just feel, and I am on their bandwagon, yes I am, I've made that point many times, I just feel that city needs more of a boost than Chicago does in terms of, I was getting ready to say.
They've both been winning championships, so. They've both been winning championships. I mean, as a city, Cleveland literally just came off an NBA championship, right? But if you're talking
about
Chicago, I mean, they got Stanley Cups I want in my grasp. I want the Blackhawks been owning the Stanley Cup arena for like the last 6-7 seasons, you know? At least every other year. But on a baseball level, it's a little different. I don't have a horse in this race. If Cleveland wins, great. If Chicago wins, great. It's one of those win-win situations for me as a fan. Hey, Kenny, do you have a favorite or a particular preference of who do you want to win the World Series, or who do you think is going to win? I know they're two different questions.
So I kind of felt bad for Chicago. I don't have anything against them. So I'm going in, I was rooting for them. I'm still rooting for Chicago. Right now, though, I don't think they're going to win. I think Cleveland's going to take one of the last two at home. That's my prediction.
Chris, what's your thoughts on that?
Say thank you. No.
Okay, I'm back, man. Sorry. Now, what was the question? I'm sorry about that.
Who wins the World Series?
Cleveland does tomorrow night. They're going to surprise Jake Arrieta, and they're going to get out in front. They're going to probably – it'll be 5-1. If it's 5-1 or 5-2 by the fifth inning, Cleveland's going to go ahead and win. That's what they're going to do. I am hopeful for the Indians. I want them to do it there.
I think Arrieta has another one in him, man. After that game two performance, he pretty much brought no-hit performance. He brought a no-hitter into the sixth. He was very good on last Friday, I believe that game was.
I just see a John Denny happening here. I don't know if you guys remember that
name.
Probably. But John Denny was a lights-out pitcher for the Cardinals back in the mid-80s. And he was shutting everybody out. I mean, he was like 25-6. Love that Giants jersey. He came out with a Giants jersey this one here. Anyway, he was like 25-6 with like 9 shutouts. He was killing everybody. But they pitched him 3 times in that World Series against the Royals. The third time he went out there, he got shelled because they figured him out. And Francona is one of those pitchers, one of those managers like Whitey Herzog, that it's going to, after a while, he's going to get you. He's going to do your homework. He's going to figure something out. He's going to look at your quirks and everything. He's going to say, okay, now I know what to do. This is what you fellas got to do, and I think that's what they're going to do tomorrow. That's just my prediction. Jordan Sweet.
Hey, Ken, you mentioned what Chicago has to do. What about on the Cleveland side as far as finishing this thing off? Do you see a situation with Madden all hands on deck even in the game six? Are they going to pitch around a guy like Lindor who's been doing his thing in the World Series? Like, well, how do you see him? Is he going to overmanage, or you think Madden is going to be quick to pull guys? Like, how do you feel that?
I think Madden's got something up his sleeve. He's a genius. So figure something out. I think he's going to go out there and I think he'll run Arrieta out there and he's going to run with him for as long as he can. Because Arrieta is one of those guys that can – he's capable of shutting down any opposing offense, no matter how good they are. He can shut down Cleveland. He did it a week ago. So a lot of pressure is going to be on Arrieta, but if he can perform, then we'll see a game set.
Okay. I mean, Chris, let me ask you this about this Chicago Cubs team. Did we see them come back versus the Dodgers, right? What makes this series any different? Like, they can't do it to Cleveland. What's your thoughts as far as Chicago recently being down this road? Okay, Chris dropped real quick. Well, Kenny, let me ask you this. Same question. What do you think why Chicago's been down this road, kind of been down 2-1 to the Dodgers and really responded with runs. They have an offensive breakout in them, or do you do not? It's just the Cleveland pitching to you is just a little bit overwhelming that maybe what the Dodgers were not bringing to the table.
I mean, the Cubs offense knocked best pitcher in baseball, Clayton Kershaw, for 5 runs in 5 innings. So if they can do it to Kershaw, they can do it to anyone. They can do it to Kluber, they can do it to Tomlin, they can do it to Bauer, they can do it to Miller. They're capable of doing it. This is one of the best offenses in baseball and probably the best in the National League. They're going to have Schwarber in the lineup. I think he adds an extra wrinkle. Just his presence in the lineup adds an extra wrinkle for Cleveland to deal with. And it's they're capable of winning this game. It's just a matter of execution.
Mm-hmm. And what about getting off to a good start? We already talked about Rizzo and Bryant. And even if Baez gets going, what about at this top of the lineup with Dexter Fowler, man? I mean, how you feel as far as his play leading it off for the Cubs to really get them jump-started to set up runners in scoring position for the sluggers, you know?
Yeah, Dexter Fowler has been a key to this offense down the stretch. He took Miller deep. That's something special. Not too many guys get to take Andrew Miller deep into the wind at Wrigley. That was a shot.
Yeah.
He's been good. He's been a real table setter. Like, we always talk about it with the Yankees, how you got to get Gardner and Ellsbury on for the big guys in the middle of the lineup. This is like that, but on a much larger scale because the middle of the Cubs lineup put the middle of the Yankees lineup right now to shame. You know, where we had this past year, who would we have? We had Teixeira and Sanchez batting 3-4 most of the time. These guys got Bryant and Rizzo, two of the front runners for NL MVP. I mean, Gary mm-hmm. Sanchez was great. We know that, but he's no Bryant or Rizzo yet. I think we can agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's on a different level. And if he can get on base, runs start pouring in.
Gotcha. Blues at Recap World Series on the Bleed Blue Show with New York Yankees Talk. Kenny, any final thoughts? And tell everybody how everybody can find your content for the New York Yankees.
Yeah. You can check me out on Facebook, New York Yankees Talk. It's all going to be up there. Only 5 months till spring training. 5 months? 5 months? Yeah, sure.
you're already counting down already, huh?
No, I never thought of that right now. I think the Yankees Instagram page, where they like to do a countdown. They'll start that pretty soon. They get that going early. Final thoughts. Well, it's been a fun 7 months of baseball. It's only 2 more games to go with the most. It's going to be fun to watch.
It's definitely going to be a tough night of television. It's going to be a tough night of sports television Tuesday. And if it goes into Wednesday, it's going to be tough with all the NBA, the NHL. And then you have, possibly 2 more games. We'll see how this goes. I actually would like to see him push it to a 7th.
Oh, yeah, of course. You got to root for game 7, yeah.
We need a game 7. Baseball, definitely push for that, man. We'll see how that goes. Man, it's great to hear from you, dude. We'll definitely talk. Bleed Blue Show with Kenny and NY. New York Yankees Talk, Stephen Chris, stakeholders, BleeBlueShow.com on iTunes, Podcast Republic, tune in your Stitcher apps. Audio archive, check out all the past episodes and upcoming schedule for our episodes. Kenny, it's nice to hear from you, man. We still bleed blue, man. Sangre azul.
Thanks a lot, man.
Yes, sir.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.